Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week, we're going to go deeper into the rumored WrestleMania 35 main event, and there are 20 million reasons why we know the finish 8 months in advance. We'll discuss our poll question this week, and we got like 3 Twitter questions, so this might be the last time we ever do a Twitter Q&A. Each week, you can listen to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5 The Sports Hub and on 98.5 The Sports Hub's app. While you're there, check out all of the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, the big story, and it might not even be a story, but it's a great piece of gossip and maybe totally made up gossip, which I personally love. Mm-hmm. The Instagram post, which I will read briefly to you, about the WrestleMania main event of The Rock and Roman Reigns and how much Saudi Arabia may have offered to secure The Rock as WWE champion. This rumor I've been itching to talk about in front of a live microphone for days now. Quote, Saudi Arabia officials want old school WWF legend The Rock to appear as the WWE champion at the planned April 2019 show in Saudi Arabia. And they have offered $20 million for this appearance. WWE officials have discussed Roman Reigns versus The Rock for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania 35. And The Rock is reportedly set to make $4 million from that WrestleMania match if it happens. If The Rock agrees to work WrestleMania 35, then it's almost certain that it will work the Saudi Arabia show as well and become the WWE Universal Champion. Mike Riley, that's $24 million for two matches. First and foremost, do you believe this? And what do you think about it?
Okay, I 60% believe that. And Jimmy, as our listeners know, this is a professional wrestling podcast. I am not trying to make this political whatsoever. But holy cow, Saudi Arabia must be raking in the money on the price of oil from not just the United States, but everywhere in the world, okay, to have all that money to throw around there and to get The Rock to Saudi Arabia to throw that kind of cash at him. I mean, The Rock would be crazy to turn that down. Are you kidding me?
So you believe this? You believe this rumor 100% or 60%?
60% on this. And I'm not like 100% sold on it, obviously, because of all that money, the total amount, but I'm not surprised. Because this is the second time within a matter of 7 months they're back in Saudi Arabia. That's incredible. Well, in November, obviously. Then they're going to do it again in the spring. So 3 shows within a matter of less than a year. Okay? Think about that. That's insane. So if you can headline a guy like The Rock in Saudi Arabia, throw that money there. WWE, I could totally see them getting him to WrestleMania, putting over Roman Reigns, and then you parlay that and put The Rock in the Hall of Fame that same weekend. Makes perfect sense, but I'm not buying it 100% though.
So you've been on this Rock into the Hall of Fame thing that weekend, but
yes.
As a whole, do I believe this rumor? Sort of.
Yeah.
I think I just want to believe it because it's such a good rumor, right?
It's awesome. It's an unbelievable rumor.
I'm into the Roman Reigns Rock match at WrestleMania 35, or at least, you know, one of these big time international shows. I don't like the fact that somebody can just pay a stupid amount of money to make somebody the WWE or the Universal Champion. That, to me, that's a bit ridiculous.
Right.
But it does make me wonder if I should start a GoFundMe page to make Seth Rollins the Universal Champion or Samoa Joe the WWE Champion, or maybe I can pay money to get Mike Bennett Kanellis an actual TV match on Monday Night Raw.
Right.
But if you're telling me overall that I get two or three matches with Roman Reigns versus The Rock, I'm all for it.
Oh, without question.
And I know that the hardcore fan is going to grumble and be like, "Ugh, it's a part-timer challenging for the Universal Championship against a guy we don't like as Universal Champion." Mm-hmm. Well, I go back to this. The WWE this past summer gave you Dolph Ziggler against Seth Rollins as a main event on a pay-per-view, and right. you mocked it by counting down with the clock. So again, you're no longer allowed to complain about a Roman Reigns main event or a part-timer being in the main event.
Right. Right.
And also, just I don't think that the number is $20 million for one match.
No.
Look, I could be wrong, but and I will tell you this, and I'm sure this was said publicly. It wasn't just said to me. Bobby Heenan once told me that he got paid about $1 million for being in the main event of WrestleMania 3 managing Andre the Giant.
Wow.
So I could probably tell you that the number might be like $10 million for the appearance.
Right.
20 feels high. Who am I to say what a real number is and what a fake number is? But
yeah,
I would say it's closer to 10 than it is to 20. But sure. If you're telling me that I get a few more matches with The Rock, I'm in, man. I am 100% in.
Oh, bring it on. Bring it on. And you know, just to go back to the Bobby Heenan comment, you said there, 1987, when that happened there, WrestleMania 3, $1 million. That was a lot of money back then.
That was his biggest payoff ever, and it should have been.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, you're with Andre, you're with Hulk Hogan. But yeah, if The Rock is there, absolutely. Sign me up. Sign me up twice, and sign me up twice on Sunday, baby.
Does The Rock coming back for WrestleMania and the potential Saudi Arabia show, is that going to get more eyeballs on the product?
Oh, without question. I mean, you not only have it for the regular everyday fan, but you've also attracted a new audience for people that, you know, are semi-interested or know of The Rock as just a movie star, and they know him just on TV shows such as Ballers. And now they're going to find out about that. So you have the Entertainment Tonight. So you have Access Hollywood. You have all of those shows. Obviously, SportsCenter will do something on him. And that just helps out Vince McMahon's product so much more. So it's a no-brainer to get The Rock there.
It's kind of a simple and basic question. But the reason why I ask it is because there were people who were critical of the John Cena Rock series, where they had it two straight WrestleManias. And at 28, when they had the year build, and when it was billed as once in a lifetime,
yep,
I believe that went down as the highest buy rate WrestleMania ever.
Wow.
Of course, now the metrics are different because you have the network,
right?
And now the dollar value is based on it's based more on live gate than it is buy rates.
Yep.
But the highest buy rate WrestleMania in history is still a pretty good marker, and that is The Rock as a main event. Interesting factoid that my friend brought up is that The Rock has never won a WrestleMania match as the champion. He's never walked out winning a championship at WrestleMania. He retained the Intercontinental Championship, but he didn't win in 2000. He didn't win against Cena. There are other examples that I just can't think of off the top of my head.
WrestleMania 15, lost to Stone Cold.
Lost to Steve Austin. Yep. Multiple times.
Yes. Yep.
Multiple times.
That's a very good fact.
So maybe this is the chance. Maybe it took the Prince of Saudi Arabia and his $20 million deposit or his $10 million deposit to finally get The Rock a championship win on a WrestleMania show.
Did you say WrestleMania 17 too? I hope you said that.
I mentioned it, yeah.
Okay. All right. I
did. Just in passing. Just under my breath very quietly.
So there you go. Yeah, you're right. That would totally make sense in the storyline scenario here. Just looking it up, Jimmy, right now, you're right. The biggest pay-per-view buyouts of all time, 1.2 million buys for WrestleMania 28, that year-long promotion right there. Boom. I actually enjoyed that. Do you like that that build up there, the year up to it?
Oh, I did enjoy it. I own the DVD. I'm actually on the DVD, selfless, shameless plug. But I did like the year build up because I like when you get a year in advance of storytelling.
Yep.
I think the Sting Hogan story was a great build up. I mean, the best year-long storytelling is the Mega Powers.
Oh, sure. Great one. Great one.
And that drew a huge buy rate, too.
Yep, totally.
So
totally.
There is value in anticipation for a match and building towards a match. And it's human emotion. You get ready for it, and you can kind of plan for it a little bit.
Right, right. And you
whether
know,
Vince knows a year in advance that he's doing something and tells the world, he should.
Yep.
And he should start promoting it.
Right, right. And, you know, I remember that even that year building up to it. Obviously, when the show was in Boston or any show you were attending, they had the main event on the trucks, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, wow, this is real now. Now, you know, 7-8 months before, it's like, this is really going to happen. So it's a really cool thing, all the promotion going up to it. I actually did enjoy that. I thought it was very good.
I think one thing that they've done, they being WWE and a lot of wrestling companies have done, is they are more into you're buying the brand and you're assuming that the brand is going to put on a great show.
Without question.
Instead of you're building anticipation for Hogan Savage, you're building anticipation for Rock Austin, you're building anticipation for John Cena versus The Rock.
Right.
It's a different mentality.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it may happen again. We'll see.
Oh, hey, give me, well, I mean, if we know that the price it costs The Rock, it's $24 million for two matches, it's September, WrestleMania is in April, we already know who's winning the main event at WrestleMania.
Right. Exactly.
Which, that's not a good thing.
Well,
not a good thing. But building anticipation to the match is a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the payoff right there.
Because I remember I was in Miami, and I'm like, okay, this is once in a lifetime. John Cena's probably going to win, like 95% sure. And then The Rock won, and I went, oh.
Yeah. Well, it's hometown.
That's surprising, and that's exactly what happened. I was like, we're in Miami. I should have figured that out.
Right, right.
But
it only made sense.
But that was the great part of that is you thought this was the first and only time you were going to get this match.
Mm-hmm.
It's in The Rock's hometown, but John Cena is here for the long term.
And yeah, it totally makes sense. So bring it on.
So there are cases for both sides to win. And then, of course, next year they did in New York. And
right. Yep. So, and you know what? I know not to sidetrack here too, but I'm very, very curious. I always get curious this time of year because, I mean, we're in the first week of October now officially. And typically next month, Jimmy, is when WrestleMania tickets go on sale, as you know. And this is where I get a little antsy to find out where the next location will be for WrestleMania 36.
Oh, I think 36 is in Minneapolis. It's either Minneapolis or Los Angeles.
L.A., huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I heard maybe Atlanta.
Atlanta wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah.
I know Minneapolis. I think that WWE wants to go back to the West Coast since SummerSlam is going to be in Toronto.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I think that they want to do Los Angeles. I think they want to go Minneapolis, Los Angeles, or Los Angeles, Minneapolis.
Yeah.
They definitely want to get into the new Viking Stadium. I know that.
Yeah.
I still know that Michigan wants them in the Big House.
That would be awesome. That'd be really cool.
I know that Foxborough still wants it, but they're not going to. They're not going to pay for it, so
it'll be tough. Yeah,
I think the one that was in Orlando, I'm convinced that Foxborough got outbid for it, but that's a whole
another story.
Yeah, that's a whole another story for another day. Maybe I'll put it in my book.
I'll write the foreword for you.
No, you won't. You won't touch my book.
Okay, never mind. I'm going to buy it.
You will buy it. Go buy my book. Last week, WWE put up a video on their website. I think it was Sunday morning about which era was the better. Was it the current era or was it the Attitude Era? So we went to Twitter and we added two options to it because I think it's fair that we discuss during our lifetime of watching wrestling. And we added the Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, 1980s era. And then our friend Alex, who works at the station, he suggested the Ruthless Aggression Era. So, Mike, how did our poll end up?
So, pushing the 300 mark on the poll there at WrestleCast985 on Twitter.
300 votes. You guys, You guys need to do better than that. More people need to vote.
Let's go. Come on.
300 votes. Get out of here.
Step it up, people. And a lot of comments about it, too. But let's start. The current era, 1%.
That's surprising.
Well, the ruthless aggression era, 9%. Late 80s, early 90s, 23%. And taking the cake, the attitude era with 67%. So if you're keeping your math at home there, yes, that is 100%. Now, some people did say they would have had the mid-80s, early to mid-80s in there, and also the Bruno Sammartino era of the 1960s and 70s.
So the problem with putting Bruno's era in there is just we weren't around for it. You and I were not around for it. So I can look back on it and watch the videos, but I have to live the era to be able to vote whether it was good or not.
Right. Correct. And, you know, some people even said, what about the early 80s to
the Bob Backlund era, I would call it.
Right. And again, I didn't live that era, Jimmy. I don't think you were a part of that either.
I consider the eras that we're describing my wrestling lifetime, which is 1987, WrestleMania III. I was sitting in Walter Brown Arena as a 6 or 7 year old child with my parents.
Yep.
And that's when my wrestling life began.
Okay. All right.
So technically, I was part of the 93,173 along with Fred Toucher.
Okay. So that's a fun fact for you right there.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. My official first memory, like the one that really sticks out in my mind, was when Jake the Snake Roberts Snake bit the Macho Man.
Okay.
91. That was like my first official memory of it. You know, I do remember WrestleMania 6. I guess that was like my official kickoff to it, Hogan Warrior. But really getting into it was right there in 91. So that's it right there.
So, Mike, what was your vote for your favorite era?
It was a tough one, Jimmy. I was very, you know, careful voting on this. I wanted to be fair, to outweigh it, and also to what I really enjoyed the most. I guess I was most attached, and I did vote for the Attitude Era. And the reason why, I just thought, just so loaded during that time period. And the whole game changed, as we know. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, even the factions during that time, D-Generation X, the Ministry of Darkness, Nation of Domination, all those, Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon character. It was awesome. It was a great time. People that I went to high school during that era, Jimmy, and, you know, I got made fun of, and I still do to this day, for still watching wrestling and enjoying it so much by people. Screw you, the people that do. I don't care. But to those that made fun of me before, they jumped on the bandwagon because of the Attitude Era. And people were talking about it in high school all the time. All of a sudden, out of the woodwork, I saw people I never would have imagined wearing an Austin 316 t-shirt, wearing a D-Generation X t-shirt, wanting to go to a live event at the Worcester Centrum or the Fleet Center. Huge. It grabbed everybody. It changed everybody. It was the best era, the best one I lived through, the best one ever in the history of professional wrestling.
So my vote also was the Attitude Era. And to define it, it's really like 1996-ish to about 2001. And the reason why I picked the Attitude Era is because WWF, WCW, ECW were all great, and the effort was made not to miss any show. I didn't have cable, so I would go to my friend's house just about every Monday night for Raw and Nitro. And if I missed a show, I would have a friend who would be nice enough to record the show on a VHS tape and give it to me either at high school or drop it off at my house, and I'd watch it Tuesday night. ECW week-to-week television, I was glued to on Univision 27 at 1 a.m.
Yep.
And just for that five-year run, all three of those TV shows were utter chaos, and you didn't know what to expect. There were some shows that were better than others, obviously, but the week to week episodic television, you couldn't miss. And to your point, I didn't get made fun of for wrestling when I was younger, because people liked me. It was a nice time in my life where everybody liked me. But people would ask me about the show because they knew that I was a huge wrestling fan. And so I would be having conversations with people who weren't normally wrestling fans, being like, what's going on with this and what's going on with this? And I'd be like, oh, I think it's this, or I think it's that, or, you know, I was a reader to Meltzer's site, you know, back then. So I'd be like, oh, well, this is what this guy is writing. And, you know, just from week to week, just my observations. And they would always ask me, oh, are you going to WrestleMania 14? Oh, are you going to... Actually, funny, quick aside. We've done a lot of sides here, and I think it's okay. Yesterday was the 21-year anniversary of Nitro in Worcester.
Oh, right. I saw that.
And the reason why it's a special moment for me is because I was sitting front row for that show with my mom and my dad, as a sophomore, junior in high school. And so there are a few things, and I actually, maybe I'll put up the screenshot of it a little bit later on. You see me in the background holding up signs because I was right on the aisleway.
Nice.
So here's the story, and I confirmed with my mom that it actually happened as I remembered it. So during the Chris Jericho six match, Scott Hall is on crutches on the outside of the ring. And Scott Hall chirped me. I'm sitting front row. I'm wearing a Enter Sandman t-shirt because I was a huge ECW fan. And so Scott Hall's chirping me. And my mom said, shut it, you F-A-H.
To Scott Hall.
To Scott Hall.
Oh, gosh.
And he laughed and he did the ooh with the fingers that he does. And it's
great.
It's one of my favorite stories because that's kind of where, as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little bit of my sass from.
And that's tremendous. That's great. And, you know, just to go back on, that's a hell
but
of a story.
He knew like it was, I mean, that's aggressive.
But he got it. Of course. He's an entertainer in the end. You know, just to go back to what you were saying too, I really shouldn't say I was made fun of by people.
There are people out there who would make fun of people for wrestling. They didn't make fun of me,
But what I wanted to say was people would always say, you know, it's fake, right? You know, it's fake. Yeah. Okay. But I enjoy it. Okay?
So are movies.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you. Excellent. Great analysis. Great comeback, too. Going to use that here on out. So you ever want to use that it's fake crap? Movies are, too.
Yeah,
thank
movies
you.
Are, too.
Yep. So, boom.
I will say this. On Thursday when I was driving and thinking about this topic, I had considered changing my answer. Because last week it was the Attitude Era, and then on Thursday I was driving, and I was like, am I sure that it's the Attitude Era? And here's my case for the current era. And I want to make clear that it's not my vote, but I did consider switching my vote. I like this current era, and it's not because the week-to-week shows are great, because they're hit or miss. If we miss a Raw or a SmackDown, I only want to speak for myself. I will skim through it and stop at certain things, unless I know something big is coming, and then I'll try to watch it live. But the big shows... they've delivered. WrestleMania in New Orleans was on pace to be a perfect show. Hell in a Cell was on pace to being a perfect show. Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega just did All In, which was a fabulous show, but it wasn't perfect. So, and New Japan, some of my favorite matches have been New Japan this year with Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho. And the Rainmaker.
Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks, absolutely. But beyond how much wrestling there is and how much good athletic in-ring wrestling there is, I'm an adult. I'm 37 years old. I've gotten to go to WrestleMania weekend the last few years. And not necessarily through the blessing of our jobs, but we have access now to wrestlers that we didn't have before.
Right.
We can go to WrestleCon or we can go to WWE Access and we can meet our favorites.
Yep.
We can go, you know, you and I are going to the VIP coming up here at TD Garden. We get the opportunity to shake hands with our favorite stars currently and in the past.
Yep.
And that's something that we haven't had. I think that's new to the last 5 years or so.
Exactly. And, you know, it's so funny you said that, Jimmy, because, you know,
and that's why, and that was kind of part of my case for like the current era is because I think that there's so much access to good wrestling and good promos, and there's access to our favorite performers. And in this current era, I feel like the performers are just really appreciative of the support of their fans.
Without question. And you know, just to your point on that too, like I was thinking about that the other day, you know, like going back, say this was this, all this access was to us. We had this during the Attitude Era. Can you imagine that? Like you one have the WWE Network, which is one of the coolest things ever. And I know it was talked about for years and finally, you know, it had its advent within the last few years, obviously. But just imagine having that available 20 years ago. And then, like you said, with the VIP to potentially go backstage and meet someone like Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock, just to say a few words, Mick Foley, Undertaker, all those big guys during that era. And not taking anything away from these guys here, who are very talented and really enjoyable athletes. But to see that right there during that time too, just imagine that. And now WrestleCon too. So the fans that are enjoying it now that may have like newer fans, you know, I want to say in their 20s or teenage years, they're very lucky. I don't know if they realize how lucky they are to have all this at their fingertips and potentially to meet everybody face to face.
Well, and it's a different world that we're kind of in where,
of course,
we're more accessible. We work in radio. We're very accessible on social media. We're accessible. If you go to the wrestling shows, we'll socialize with you. We'll try to be nice to you. If you're rude, you can, you know, go fry an egg. If you're nice, we'll take pictures. You know,
you can wear my championship belt.
Exactly. But in the past, in the 80s, it was Macho Man Randy Savage is doing 2 hours at the Natick Mall. It's Steve Austin is signing his book at Borders in downtown Boston.
Yep.
And these were the only opportunities that you had to meet wrestlers.
Right.
Now it's WrestleCon, it's Access, it's VIP, and you get to see it sit front row or second row or third row.
Right.
Things of that sort. So the wrestlers are more, or you can tweet at a wrestler and he'll see it or she will see it and tweet back. And,
exactly.
You know, in a small case, there was a fan who bought a ticket for All In and realized he couldn't afford to go to All In.
Yep.
He tweeted at Cody Rhodes and essentially was like, "Hey, I'm happy I bought the ticket, but I can't afford to fly up there."
Yep.
And Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks, they got in his social media. They sent him a DM and they sent him money so that he could fly up.
Right.
Like, that's cool.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
That's a great experience that wouldn't have happened, you know, 10 years ago.
Right. And that's good for Cody Rhodes too. That's a really nice thing to do. Class act right there.
First class individual.
Oh, without question.
And so that was kind of my case, is that I feel like fans now have a more personal experience with wrestlers than they did back then.
Yeah, and Jimmy,
back 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
And I know that, you know, people can take a shot at me if you want, but one of the I'll say this straight up, and I don't know if you even know this, but one of the top 10 moments of my life, like coolest things ever happened, I got a retweet from John Cena. I got a retweet from John Cena.
That is cool.
Okay, you know, that was right before WrestleMania 28, right before Miami. And it was like he was promoting his match with The Rock on the Today Show, and I tweeted out, can't wait for John Cena versus The Rock this Sunday at WrestleMania. Put the tweet out, and John Cena retweets it, and all of a sudden, holy cow, my account's blowing up, likes, retweets, and I'm getting followers left and right. That was one of the coolest things. You're not going to get that 10, 12 years ago, but now you can with that interaction, just like you said, Jimmy.
Yeah, and if you want to make the case for the 80s where it was about promos and going to house shows and we'd get a super great match on TV or pay-per-view, I can buy that because that's our childhood, right? And we remember our childhood
absolutely
better because we didn't have bills to pay and right families to raise and we didn't have like real life stuff. We could just go and be children. I'll buy that. I will 100% buy that. But for me, it's the Attitude Era, and a close second is the current era for all the reasons that I just listed, just the accessibility of wrestlers, all the great wrestling. But the Attitude Era for me was you can't miss Raw, Nitro, ECW. You can't miss anything.
Oh, and, you know, with Raw, too, and I would actually have to pick a show to watch each week.
You'd pick Raw because there was no rerun. Nitro had a rerun.
But what I did, though, I would, you know, watch it upstairs, and then I would tape Nitro downstairs in my basement, and I'd watch that the day after or vice versa, depending on what I really wanted to see that particular week. So that was the beauty of the – and we've talked about this before. Competition is good. It's good.
100% it's good.
Yeah, you know, it's a good thing. So that I thought that was the height of both of them right there. The NWO, the, you know, the Attitude Era for WWF, WWE, and it was just really, really top shelf. Couldn't beat it. So Attitude Era got my vote, Jimmy.
Yeah, we both got the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And the poll won the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era won the poll as well.
But it's a good poll, and people, I enjoyed hearing people's reactions to it, and might even put another one out next week, too. I have a Hall of Fame question. What do you think of that, Jimmy?
Fine by me.
Let's do it. We'll talk about it next week.
Yes, we will. Speaking of Twitter and social media, we did a Twitter Q&A, and
sure,
you all failed at asking us questions. We didn't get enough questions as far as I'm concerned.
I got a few on my personal account.
I expected more than like five questions, so you guys need to be a little bit better.
Step it up.
I will start off with, I have the first question, and then you can roll through yours. This comes from Jared on Twitter. Other than the immediate financial payoff, what long-term benefits, if any, does the Brothers of Destruction versus DX provide the WWE? I think that it really doesn't. It's just, it's another match attraction because somebody else wants to pay the money to see these four in the same ring at the same time.
Right.
If long term it means that Shawn Michaels is out of retirement, I want to see who he's fighting. I don't think Shawn Michaels should be out of retirement. But if that starts that process and you're giving me AJ Styles and Shawn Michaels, if you're giving me Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels, I'm okay with that. But again, DX, I'm kind of over. Kane and Undertaker, yeah, I'm kind of over.
Yeah.
Will I watch? Of course I'll watch. Of course, yeah, I'll watch. Will they entertain me? Of course they will.
Right.
But I'm not as emotionally invested now in 2018 than I was in 97, 02, when these performers were at the top of their game.
And, you know, in a real life situation too here, if you're a big fan of Kane, now's your time to cash in to see him too, because if you haven't heard, he is the mayor of a city in Tennessee. So you better try to enjoy him as much as you can right now. I don't think he'll be able to get out as much as we think he could, although I could be wrong. I don't know. But that situation there. And these guys are not getting younger, Jimmy. They're human. So I know people rip all the time, like, why would you want to see The Undertaker still? Or what does he still have left? And, you know, Shawn Michaels, do you really want to see him come back? If they're willing to do it, if they can possibly get back in the ring, I'm all in on that. Go ahead. These guys are some of the best that have ever taken part inside the squared circle, so I have no objection to them, and I am 100% in support of that.
And I'm a little, I admit that I'm a little bit hypocritical here because I championed The Rock versus Roman Reigns. But I'm more emotionally invested in The Rock right now than I am any of the other four. And so I think The Rock can also give better value, maybe better value.
Yeah. No, of course. And it's just a name. And like we talked about with the entertainment aspect, the ET and Access Hollywood, that would really light it up big time.
Mike, what's your question or questions from Twitter?
All right, let's go through a couple here. So you got Matt here. He actually has a good one. I just noticed this now. Do you guys feel the WWE title has lost a lot of its prestige? Because I feel it has. I feel this way mainly because of how it's placed on weekly TV. I think he's talking about, obviously, SmackDown and the fact that since the brand split, it hasn't main evented a co-branded pay-per-view. I'm going to start with this, Jimmy, and I think you'll agree with me that the Universal title and for Raw, as it's placed on Raw, Raw is the flagship station.
Raw is definitely the A-show, yes.
Yeah, the show. Yeah, not the station. Yeah. And Roman Reigns holds it now. And for a whole year, Brock Lesnar had it. So, those are like the two big guys in the company. I understand where he's coming from here, that it may have lost the prestige. However, though, it has more history than the Universal title. So, with a title so young as the Universal title, it does need to be on Raw. It really does, because, yes, that is your A show. Has it lost a prestige? A little bit. I could see that, because during that brand split, especially in the early part of the 2000s, I didn't know which one I really cared. I didn't really care too much for the World Heavyweight title. I was more for the WWE Championship. That was just my personal preference. But it really depended who held it. So a little bit of prestige, I think it's lost, but the Universal title, they're really trying to build that one up. What say you, Jimmy?
I think the promotional value of the WWE Championship is lost a little bit on SmackDown, but AJ Styles is the best all-around performer that they have on SmackDown, so he should be the champion. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'll get too many. I mean, AJ Styles could have a great match with anybody.
Right.
I've liked his programs with Samoa Joe, his Nakamura program. While the matches in the ring didn't do anything, they didn't do as much for me as they should have.
Right.
I still kind of think that. I think it's just the Tuesday versus Monday thing.
Yeah.
People have their set appointments. Monday Night Wrestling, which has been something that's been going on for multiple generations. Primetime wrestling was Monday night. Then Monday Night Raw, Nitro. Raw, that's people's appointment settings, whether they know it or not. And so Tuesday for SmackDown, it's like, yeah, you watch and you're invested, but you're just not over the top invested.
However, though, during football season, I find myself more invested in SmackDown, and I do enjoy SmackDown.
And SmackDown, I feel like, is the better show overall.
I agree.
But I think if we're talking mainstream appeal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that WWE wants you to be more invested in the Universal Champion or Monday Night Raw than they want you to be invested in SmackDown.
Right, exactly.
So I think to a degree, this is a long way to get to that answer.
No.
I think, unfortunately, it has lost a little bit of value to the casual fan, but I think the hardcore fans are like, AJ Styles is our champion. We're good.
Right, and there's no issue with that. So. Do you want another wrestling question, Jimmy, or do you want to go off the track a little bit? Real life.
Oh, go. You got a real life thing?
We got a real life question here.
All right, real life question.
Well, actually, let me go to the real life one after. One more wrestling one from Connor. This just came in today. And because we do have Evolution coming up, and I know that show is kind of getting lost in the shuffle here with Australia and Saudi Arabia, and that is coming up at the end of the month. But especially in light of the story, this is from Connor, especially in light of the story that came out about Lita, finding out the same way we did about fighting Mickey, how do you guys feel about the use of legends in Evolution? Lita and Trish both seem to be in arbitrary throwaway matches.
Oh, I don't think Trish versus Alexa is a throwaway match. I think that's a fabulous match where you have Trish is a clearly defined face and Alexa is a clearly defined heel.
Yep.
And it wouldn't shock me if we found out that Trish requested to work with Alexa Bliss.
Okay.
I'm interested in that match. I think that's going to be a fabulous matchup because While I'm not overly emotionally invested in Alexa Bliss,
right.
I respect the talent. I think she's a fabulous villain. I think
she's great.
She's really good. And she's somebody who really needed the championship to establish mm-hmm. how good she was. Her program with Becky on SmackDown was awesome.
Phenomenal.
And her run as Raw champion was great. Her
great
cash deal. In at Money in the Bank was awesome as well. And I think probably if there was no one named Ronda Rousey on the roster, she'd still be champion.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And, you know, that's another topic for another time here. But with Ronda Rousey, the success of her and the name there, I think that's put some of the other ones in the backdrop a little bit, i.e. Sasha Banks and Bayley, if you know what I mean, Jimmy.
Yeah, there's an issue there.
I know, and you teased that last week, so we'll have to talk about that another time.
Yeah.
But with the legends there, I think they really got a good feel for that with the first ever Women's Royal Rumble last year.
That Royal Rumble was booked really well.
It was awesome.
And it was to have the fans remember, you know, Lita doing a moonsault, and Trish right. still has it, mm-hmm. and Beth Phoenix with her feats of strength. And mm-hmm. I think maybe what frustrated people is that Sasha Banks versus Trish was teased in that match.
Right.
And there was a feeling that, okay, this is a match that could happen down the road, and the WWE didn't pay it off yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's see if they actually do a little bit later on down.
And, I thought the most underappreciated, but I thought really one of the big parts of that Royal Rumble was Michelle McCool. She was awesome.
Of course, she was booked to be successful. She's Undertaker's wife.
That's right, baby. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Mrs. Undertaker, Mrs. Deadman. They're
trying to get the Undertaker back to do the John Cena match. Of course, they're going to take care of Mrs. Undertaker.
And it worked. All right, real life one here from our good friend Carl, who you and
Carl, we met at the Dirty Dozen at Kowloon.
Yep, and he'll be at the Bruce Pritchard podcast in a couple of weeks, too. Carl wants to know what Sarge and Jay Stu watch that is not sports or sports entertainment related in television. Jimmy?
So I am very nitpicky with my television shows. The last show that I really invested in was Homeland.
Uh-huh.
But generally, if we're talking TV shows, I'm Homeland, I'm Scandal, I love 24.
Oh, great show.
I watched some of Ballers. I liked it. I just didn't continue with it. I liked Billions.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I'm at. Sometimes I'll watch Blue Bloods.
Oh, yeah.
I got on the DVR because it just happened tonight. Is God Friended Me. So we'll see how that is. I wonder if that's anywhere close to the old Michael Landon Highway to Heaven or what was the other one? Was there a show Seventh Heaven or something like that?
Yeah, Seventh Heaven back in the late 90s, I believe.
Yeah, so we'll see if that's a week-to-week television program. But
okay.
that's generally my TV viewing outside of, you know, the baseball game or the Patriots game.
Yep.
The hockey,
non-sports.
The Celtics, or pro wrestling.
Right, yeah. And, besides all that, too, I mean, I try to avoid the news like the plague because it's so damn depressing. However, some of the things are kind of entertaining. In fact, I did get hooked on that Kavanaugh hearing a little bit. It started to become sports entertainment at its best with all the going back and forth and very interesting stuff. So I was a little interested with the current event stuff. But for TV shows, for me, love The Affair on I think it's HBO or Showtime, one of those two. Big fan back in the day of Sopranos, love 24, and Friday Night Lights was a very good show too. So that's
24
really...
is one of my all-time favorite shows, and
great show.
Nina Myers is one of the great all-time villains in television history.
She turned out of nowhere in season one. That was awesome, incredible. And what is the other show? I was really invested in it before. House of Cards, but...
House of Cards is awesome. House of Cards is another one.
I won't watch it anymore because of Kevin Spacey.
So he's out. The new season is November 2nd, and he's totally out.
Okay, good. Good. That's my silent protest with all that sex abuse stuff.
Oh, so there was also another, speaking of Netflix shows, Making a Murderer 2.
Yeah.
Is coming out soonish.
Wow, okay. And People vs. O.J., did you watch that?
I did not see that.
Very good. Really good. Check it out.
But the thing that I will tell people about Making a Murderer is I watched it and I was like, oh, how is this guy ever in jail?
Yeah, then
I did my own research on it.
Yes.
And I found this Wisconsin radio host who actually covered the trial day to day. And he was doing 10-minute podcasts on the episodes.
Oh, wow.
And essentially like dissecting and telling you why this episode is full of crap. And so I listened to that and I'm like, okay, well, this makes sense. And then I did some more research and I'm like, okay, this guy should have been put away, should be put away for life.
I thought those lawyers are pretty good too.
Oh, and that's, and that, and they, my sense is that they funded the documentary because then they went on their own little tour and they've made more money off of it and they're more high profile lawyers now, so they can charge more money for it.
There you go. All right. And just for the record too, someone did ask, Jimmy, will you be coming to Sarge's house to record the podcast? We got a lot of talk about this on Toucher and Rich this week because of when, you know, intern Nick came over to tour my place. Jimmy, you just want to set the record straight?
We do this via Google Video. I am sitting in my home office. Mike is sitting in his home office.
Yep.
And that's how we do it because, and it's a really simple reason why. So when we started the podcast, we were going to do it every Tuesday night after SmackDown. So SmackDown ends at 10 o'clock at night. So I'm not watching SmackDown at the radio station.
No.
And then going into a studio and recording a 40 to 60 minute podcast and then uploading it and editing it. And that would get me leaving the station at midnight on a Tuesday night. And my commute home is a little bit longer than most, and I didn't want to do that.
Right.
So we set it up so that we do it at Google Video so that at 10 o'clock after SmackDown is over, or in this case, we're recording on a Sunday night, we can do the podcast. We can say goodbye. I can edit what I need to edit, upload it, and walk upstairs to my bed.
Yep.
That's why we do it over Google Video.
And it works. And thank you to all the listeners every week that do invest their time to listen to it, whether it be an entire show or at some point to break it up during the week and, you know, get a little bit on a Monday, maybe a little bit on a Tuesday. We do appreciate the numbers and all the support because I enjoy doing this. Jimmy does the meat and potatoes of the rundown, and like he just told you with the editing of it. So he's really the backbone of this, but really do enjoy doing this, and it's a lot of fun. And thank you to the Sports Hub for allowing us to do this.
Yeah, I've grown to enjoy it.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Really
no, it really is. And you can feel our passion for pro wrestling, sports entertainment come through. And the fact that so many people download it is like stupid, but it's very much appreciated.
Totally. Bring it on. So,
Mike,
that's like my questions.
Any closing thoughts, any plugs? What do you got?
All right, well, let's start with a couple of plugs here as we've been going the last couple of weeks. We got 2 weeks to go, actually a week from this upcoming Saturday, October 13th, Kowloon Saugus, Route 1 North, WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South. He'll be on location 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., signing autographs, taking pictures, and, of course, get yourself a poopa platter, Mai Tai, and some Saugus wings. And then you want to go up there the week after as well, Sunday, October 21st, for Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard. Some tickets remain available. 781-233-0077, Kowloon Saugus, 781-233-0077, Sunday, October 21, Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard at the Kowloon. The Wong Father will be very happy to see you there, both of those, October 13th and the 21st. It's all I got this week. Good show, Jimmy.
So I have an item that I will announce when I'm allowed to announce it.
All right.
It's really cool, and it relates to the tweet that I sent out on Friday. And the tweet that I sent out was essentially, this is one of the nicest professional emails that I've ever gotten.
Mm, okay.
So when I'm allowed to announce it, I will.
Okay.
So that'll either come up on my Twitter account or maybe I'll be able to announce it next week on the program. We will see.
Wow. Okay.
But it's a pretty cool thing, and Mike doesn't know about it yet.
Nope.
As soon as I hit the stop button on the recording, Mike will find out about it.
All right.
But I didn't want to tell him before the podcast because he would accidentally say it or he would intentionally say it, and it's not ready to be announced yet.
No problem.
So,
all right.
Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app while you're there. Check out all of the original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. All of our podcasts are also available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, you can follow me. Actually, you can follow our Twitter account at WrestleCast985. I am on Twitter. I am at I am James Stewart. Mike, until next week, rebuild, redesign, and of course, reclaim.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.